Keep your mind fit. Listen to Radio Gorgeous.
It's midnight.
Welcome to Gorgeous Gossip. My name is Josephine Pembroke.
And I'm Donna Freed.
Today we're going to talk about the effects of alcohol.
Ruins lives, Josephine.
Ruins lives, but it can lead to a hell of a lot of fun. So we'll be talking about our embarrassing, you know, antics. But first of all, we'll talk about the show very briefly. On Gorgeous Lives this week, we've got Henrietta Green. Have you heard of her?
Yes.
She's the other half, was the other half of Graham and Green, the iconic store, homeware store in Notting Hill Gate. And she's always been passionate about food, and she invented The Food Lover's Guide to Britain, which was the first book that ever took into consideration where food was from. And so she is a food campaigner. And so she tells us her journey from schoolgirl in St John's Wood to being one of the most important spokeswomen in Britain for food in the UK.
And for creating farmers markets here.
Yes, she's the first person ever to create a farmers market.
Thank you, Henrietta. Borough Market is the best place on earth.
I know, and it's what's so good about Borough Market? It's the place to go for
everything. From truffle honey, which I'm going to get some this Saturday. Borough Olives is there. They're making food. There's butchers, there's game, there's seafood. It's amazing.
So talking about butchers, there's a handful of butchers in Britain that are women.
Ah!
And we have found one of them, and she is no ordinary butcher, because she's got her own butcher shop, Charlotte's Butchery in Newcastle. She also does it mail order. So you can literally order her oxtail, her sausages, her bronze turkeys, and she'll get them delivered to you any time of year. It's not just this time of year. And she's going to talk to us about holding a cleaver and carrying hunks of meat around. It's quite exciting. And then Gorgeous Gossip. We've got a guest on Gorgeous Gossip.
We do have a guest on Gorgeous Gossip. We are joined today by Rachel Hirams, who was a playwright turned screenwriter. And her debut film, Powder Room, is out now in theaters.
With Sheridan Smith.
Sheridan Smith, Jamie Winstone, Una Chaplin, and Kate Nash. Great cast.
Let's listen to it now.
We're joined now by debut screenwriter Rachel Hirams, who has written Powder Room, which was formerly your play, When Women We.
It was indeed, yes.
So and that got performed at the Edinburgh Fringe. Tell me about the trajectory.
It started life in 2000 at the Camden Fringe Festival. And we were just on for 4 days, and it did sort of really well. We didn't know what to expect because I'd never written a play before that, so I didn't quite know how it was going to go. But we thought, it might be pretty well with women. But by the end of it, like on the fourth day, we were selling out, and it was kind of like mainly men, which was like a big surprise for all of us involved. Given that it got such a good reception, we were like, well, we should take it to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which is where we took it in 2011. So we did 3 weeks there, and then it transferred to the Soho Theatre, which is where Damien, the film producer, came and saw it.
Yeah, Damien Jones. Fantastic. Yeah. You've never written a play before that?
No, I haven't written a play before that. But everything moved quite quickly with the film. So he came and saw it and he said, I think that this would be a great idea. So just let me know how you could see this working as a film, if you could at all. So I wrote him sort of my idea. But in the meantime, I was writing my second play, A Guide to Second Aid Sex. And by the time both of those sort of came into fruition, he was like, okay, absolutely fine, yeah. If you want to sort of take a crack at writing the screenplay, then do it. So, yeah, I wrote two plays and then Powder Room.
Oh, my God. Crazy. So, and how did the idea of Powder Room, which was actually When Women We, how did that come to you?
It came about, it was a night when I was out in a nightclub and I was sort of sat in the toilet doing my makeup, and I overheard a conversation between two girls, and they didn't know each other, and it was pretty late on in the evening. And they were both pretty drunk, and I was sort of sat in the toilet doing my makeup.
You were sober, of course.
I could just hear them talking really candidly to each other and really honestly, and they were sort of helping each other out and counselling each other, and it was just the most lovely show of solidarity, something that you sort of seldom ever see or experience. And it was just sort of really funny the way that they were not careful with the information that they were disclosing, because, you know, they didn't know each other and they'd probably never see each other again. So their guard was completely down and they were just completely uncensored, unedited. And I just thought it was so beautiful. And then I kind of thought, you know, it'd be great to actually show what goes on, like how girls really are with each other, and just the various stages of love and life and intoxication. And it'd just be, I just thought it's a great location to sort of set it in, because, you know, when we are in those toilets or any kind of private space, you just let everything down and you totally let your guard down and you feel as though you can be yourself. And that's what I found really interesting and really beautiful and honest. There does come a sort of certain comfort with that, I think. And I'm always amazed at the sort of discrepancy between often how we sort of portray ourselves when we're either out on the dance floor or sipping our cocktails in these swanky places, and everyone looks so sophisticated and so classy and so elegant, and then we go into the toilet with our sort of gaggle of girls, and then everyone's just like, and we kind of let it all hang out, and we're helping each other sort of get in and out of our outfits, and I love that.
And where are you from?
I'm from Warrington originally.
And so the movie stars, you have like the most amazing cast, you know, of like girls about now. You have Sheridan Smith, Kate Nash, Jamie Winstone, Una Chaplin. I mean, what is this? You've just sort of got sucked into this whirlwind of like, oh gosh, I'm a writer now.
Yeah, completely. And that's, to be fair, that's genuinely how it felt and how I still feel. Like, I feel, and I am, for all intents and purposes, still incredibly new to the whole thing, and it really kind of did, like the moment that Damien sort of saw it and decided that that's what he wanted to do, it really did kind of hit the ground running, and there was no time for self-doubt. I mean, like now when I sort of write on new projects, because I'm sort of, I have a little bit more experience behind me, so because I'm sort of looking out for, okay, this is what I need to do here, and I'm slightly more technical in my way of thinking about it, it's kind of like I know what to worry about now, whereas at the time it was all just, there was no time for that. I was sort of writing the screenplay and reading books on how to write screenplays at the same time. And sort of within just a couple of months, they had the cast confirmed, and I just thought, well, this is incredible. Like, I had never dreamed that it would ever go this far.
Were you involved past the script writing part? Were you part of the production, or?
No, I did stick solely to script writing. I mean, I was on set a couple of times, but everything was sort of so quick, so they filmed it in just 3 weeks, and I went on the set a couple of times. But I mean, while it was my first film, it was a lot of people's first film, so I didn't sort of want to be around and in people's way or doing anything like that. But I mean, the whole process was really kind of inclusive. It was never kind of, okay, well, your job's done, so you're not involved anymore. Everyone was sort of in it together. And I think because it was a low-budget film and because there was such a quick turnaround on it, I think there was no other option but for everyone to feel like that.
Excellent.
All mucking in.
Yeah. And so where do you go out now? It's Christmas time. You got to go out for some drinks, get a little messy, talk about it in the ladies' room. Where are you going?
I mean, my nighttimes I usually spend in Soho, because when I first moved to London, I think I always sort of had in my mind, like, my life is just going to be Soho and play, so I've always kind of just stuck to that, so I always just hang around the nightclubs in Soho.
Perfect. Well, and the Soho Theatre is a great place to hang out anyway, whether you have something on or not.
Yeah, but that's where I do all my work sort of during the day. And then I love that sort of little change that comes at like 8 p.m. when suddenly everyone sort of puts their laptops away. And then everyone comes in lovely dresses because they're all going to the theatre. And then by 11 o'clock, I'm doing shots of Tia Maria. No reason. But
it's a whole day. So what's next for you?
Well, I'm currently working on a pilot for BBC Three. It's a sitcom called Vodka Diaries. And again, that's sort of four girls who all live in a flat share together, who are in their sort of mid to late 20s. So that will be aired in March or April next year. So that's what we're working on at the moment. And other than that, my second play, which was Guide to Second Date Sex, which we sort of touched on, the film rights for that have been bought. And so I'm currently developing the film script for that.
Oh my God, you have like the Midas touch. What did you think you were going to be doing if you weren't going to be writing plays? And
To be fair, do you know what? I never kind of had a strong sense of, like, I went to university and I studied film and drama. I kind of knew that that was the area that I was interested in, but I never had a strong inclination of I want to be a writer or a director or an actor. I didn't know what it was, so I kind of bumbled around, and I was a singer in a band and things like that. I kind of just did everything, and I think that I was perhaps just waiting for something to sort of take off, and then it's kind of easier to follow it through.
Wonderful circumstances that, you know, sort of just propelled you forward. And hey, you saw those circumstances, you took them, and you're riding them. So congratulations.
Well, make hay while the sun shines.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, just count my blessings and just match the sort of opportunities that, you know, are kind of now available. I'm just trying to constantly get better and better and better.
Perfect. Well, Merry Christmas. What's your sloppiest powder room moment?
Oh, my own personal. Oh, God. The worst ones are the ones that I can't remember. Like, even on Monday this week, this is horrific. I went to meet a friend in a bar, and we were just going to have, like, one glass of wine, maybe.
That's always the worst nights. Oh, I'm not going to drink tonight.
Okay, yeah, no, I can see you on Monday, but, you know, I've got a really early start Tuesday morning, and we have so much to do. And so what started off as a really civil sort of two glasses of wine, I do remember being at the bar doing shots. I don't know why, every night, just descending to me doing shots. And it's never me and a group of people doing shots. It's just I acquired this taste for Tia Maria, which has been my gift and my curse ever since. So this was this Monday, and then I woke up on Tuesday morning, and I had, like, McDonald's wrappers in my room. And, like, an empty cup.
Were they stuck to your face?
Of, 2 pints of milk that I just drank. And I totally don't remember buying that or getting home, but I kind of looked around at all the litter and everything that I sort of accumulated, and I thought, well, you seem to have lived life last night, even if you can't remember it. I like to think that, you know, maybe I'm much more sort of adept at handling myself when I'm drunk and I don't really know what I'm doing. Maybe that's a gift.
That's our theory. We're sticking to it.
Yeah, fine.
But Josephine would like to know, what sort of drunk are you? Obviously, the Tia Maria shot to in kind. Chatty, sad, lap dancing.
I don't know what kind of drunk. I mean, I think that you never quite know what kind of drunk you are, do you?
Yes, because like, you think you're much better than you are.
They're terrible drunks, and they get really aggressive, and they think that they're fine. Like, and they think everyone else is wrong at the time and even the following morning. Whereas I'm kind of, I don't know, I think because I'm sort of quite loud and sort of energetic in the first place, when I get drunk, I don't sort of get more so. I don't start jumping on tables. I'm usually the one, because I'm not a great drinker at all. Well, I mean, I do drink. I usually have a tendency that I'm the one who sort of, like, withdraws, and I just get cold and tired. I want to go home.
Hence the milk and the McDonald's.
It comes so quickly for me, do you know what I mean?
So who can tell? We'll have to go out with you, and we'll tell you what kind of drunk you are later.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's
all right. Tia Maria shots on Radio Gorgeous.
Honestly, they're so worth doing. You will never go back when you try them.
Oh, no. A new vice. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Thank you so much for having
me on. Thank you so much, Rachel. Take care. We look forward to seeing what's next.
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. Lots of love, darlings. Mwah.
Rachel, I look forward to our Tia Maria shots.
Exactly. Now, we're talking about times. Well, it started off that I said, oh, my God, my husband is getting in drunk a lot at the moment. And we were laughing, Donna and I, last week, because I said he comes in and he really thinks he's being like a mouse around the house. And it's more like an elephant. But he does everything really slowly. It's like this slow, big elephant, you know, sits on the end of a bed. Half an hour to take off a shoe, another half an hour to take off a shoe, and like, and then just falls asleep and snores. Oh. Anyway, I'm seeing him at the end of the night. What happens to you? What sort of drunk are you actually? Are you a jolly drunk, a teary drunk, a screaming drunk? What are you?
I've been all of the above at various times. Well, because it depends. Like, you know, I mean, I think it just alcohol exacerbates, you know, the mood you're in anyway. And at the end of the night, I think everyone's a sad, sloppy angry drunk.
Yeah.
But no, for the most part, I'm very cheery and enthusiastic.
Yes. I know, but I scream, and I've really noticed when, I go to places and people turn around a lot because I'm literally screaming with excitement. I'd say that when I've had drink, my adrenaline switched on, so I literally go wild. And I was known for years as Mad Josephine, and I wonder why, but it was literally the mixture. It's like having cocaine. You know, people used to think I was on drugs. It was actually just alcohol.
I do get overexcited myself upon occasion.
Okay, so now we're going to talk. Now we're going to admit to some stories. Can you tell us some stories when you were a little bit tight, as my mother would say?
Yes. Well, there've been striptease seems to be a theme running through some evenings, and then whereas.
Have you ever been down to nothing?
Yes.
Okay. When everyone else has been dressed.
Well, yes. You say that like it's odd.
Where are you? Are you in public? Are you in a flat?
Oh, no. I'm usually... it's not in public. Although... Part of my anatomy was out. Anywho,
I think it's quite common actually to want to kind of literally put your kind of arse in the air or show your bosoms, or you know, there's something about, I suppose, you are literally letting yourself breathe. You mm-hmm. know? I went to a hen night the other day and I was twerking. Picked up my dress. Luckily I was wearing thick black tights, but my arse was out. I was twerking away. Actually, talking about hen nights, my hen night was so wild, but it was written about in a book. Yeah.
Oh, no.
And my friend opened the book as the girl in the book went to the mother of all hen nights. And it was my hen night. The only thing she changed was I covered all the girls' bosoms in chocolate mousse and licked it off. And she changed it to something like peach mousse.
But like, I would never serve peach mousse.
Yeah, I know.
How but, dare you?
And I literally, there was a chandelier above the table and I swung off it. Luckily, the fixtures and fittings was...
insured.
I was snorting, this is according to Penny, I had to ring her this morning, my best friend, to find out. I was snorting cocaine off a loo seat. Oh, and I've got a picture of me with my friend in the loo, snorting cocaine. And he is in drag and I named him, was my friend that night. Fluffy Peaches. So Fluffy Peaches and I were in Baloo. And then we went, I said, I want to go to a really tacky nightclub. So she found this one called Belugas in Edgware Road, which was only Arabs. And they all got into the VIP bit, but I couldn't get in because I was too drunk. And then the sailor arrived at Belugas.
The Navy was in?
Yeah, the Navy was in, but he was my strippogram. But he didn't strip far enough. So I got on my knees, pulled down his pants, put his willy in my mouth. And it was floppy.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
I'll sort you out.
What an insult. But the good thing about it is he did get a date.
I'm cringing.
He did get a date with someone the next night. Yeah. Anyway, enough of me. How about you? That was just a little night out. How about you?
Well, on my wedding night.
Your wedding night? You weren't the demure bride, Donna, I'm surprised.
No. Well, again, I was so excited and I was so happy to marry my husband. I didn't like eat my lunch and then it went on and I carried on. I was very excited. And
what were you drinking at your wedding?
I'm supposed to remember details like that. I think it was white wine.
Yeah.
I'll say it was white wine.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Who's to counter me here today?
So what did you do that was absurd at your own wedding?
Well, the funny thing was our friend Donald came home with us because, I don't know.
You're in New York.
Yeah, exactly.
These things happen.
Anyway,
you didn't get the romantics and Rolls Royce back. Yeah.
Well, the thing was he had picked up someone else's coat or sweater and he looked down and he was like, ah! He's a designer and he looks down at his cuffs. He's like, knitted cuffs! And then realizes he doesn't have his keys, so he has to come home with us.
My husband's on your honeymoon night, you had a friend, a gay friend. Perfect.
But he didn't stay all night. It would have been fine if he had.
Yeah.
The wedding, you know, the marriage was consummated. Yeah. You know, it was all right.
He could have cuddled up with you.
But the funniest thing was my husband... went to hail a cab and Donald and I were standing on his stoop sort of weeble wobbling back and forth.
Are you still in your gown?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, was sort of rocking back and forth on my heels and stuff. And the cab driver looked at my husband and he said, are those two okay? And he drove off. He wouldn't let us in the cab.
I love it. You probably thought, did he know you were a real bride? I mean, it's a bit disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it was a red and white dress, so perhaps not. Okay. Well, and also it was two men and a woman, so yeah. I probably didn't think.
It is an unusual wedding scenario.
Yeah, it happens, yes.
You were quite tipsy at my 50th, weren't you?
I do recall being tipsy.
And it's really good because I got the photographs back last week, and there's three of you naked swimming in the swimming pool.
Yeah. Skinny dipping, I did advertise that, exactly. That might happen.
Exactly, stripping off. But we want.
Wasn't the only one.
We want your stories. They don't have to be as bad as ours. Could you send them in to us, info@radiogorgeous.com? Or you can go to Audio Boo, Radio Gorgeous, and leave a verbal message for us. But look, thank you so much for listening. This has been a Radio Gorgeous production for radiogorgeous.com. And it's, what year? Sorry.
She's on the sauce already. It's 2013.
2013. And thank you so much for listening. Follow us, radio_gorgeous. Thanks. Bye-bye. Just another suicide. Lord knows the ladies cry. Nitrogen and dirty. RadioGorgeous.com